This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com. Welcome to Dishy Mix. I'm your host, Susan Bratton. And on today's show, you're going to get to meet somebody I've admired for quite a while, Justin Smith. Justin is the head of product at a hot new startup called Water Cooler. But I discovered Justin because he's the editor of a blog, the largest blog serving the social media application developer world, called Inside Facebook. But the thing that I found out about with Justin is that he is the author of the Facebook Marketing Bible. I bought it. It's an ebook. It's fantastic. And I have Justin on the show to share all his best tips with us today. So we're going to talk about the power of the water cooler. We're going to talk about the apps versus widget smackdown. We're going to talk about the beauty of ebooks and that whole world, and get to hear from Justin about graphing social pattern.
Water Cooler is a developer of distributed social applications for consumers of entertainment, primarily in the TV and sports categories. And so what we've done is we've built a network of applications that run on social networks. Within each community, there is definitely the ability to access content created by fans no matter which social network they're on. Right, and on the whole, having users' real friends talking about your creative is a type of engagement that is generally hard to get. So this provides a more compelling way than almost anywhere else to do that. People discover new things that they like from their friends. So showing a friend's face next to a new product or service can be a pretty powerful idea. So if you became a fan of Apple, your friends might see that news later tonight or tomorrow and could then click on that news feed, and then their friends would see the news that they became a fan, and so forth. And so that there is actually a pretty rapid spread of news about becoming a fan of a brand through the news feed, which makes it pretty powerful.
Please welcome Justin on today's show. Hey, Justin.
Hey, Susan. It's great to be with you. Thanks so much for having me.
It's my pleasure. It took us a couple months to get this booked. You're a busy guy. You're running a blog. You're the author of a book that you update frequently, and you're head of product at Water Cooler. So I can't imagine. Do you have time for a girlfriend?
Actually, I do. It's busy days these days, but all of them are really exciting. And yeah, I'm just excited to be doing to be working on everything that I'm doing right now.
Well, you're like a kid in a candy shop with all these great things. You are a social media lover for sure. Tell us about Water Cooler. It's such a great name for a company, and you're actually one of the companies that's making good money in the world of social media marketing. So describe it a little bit.
Sure. So Water Cooler is a developer of distributed social applications for consumers of entertainment, primarily in the TV and sports categories. And so what we've done is we've built a network of applications that run on social networks, you know, primarily Facebook, MySpace, Hi5, Bebo, and so forth, the biggest ones in the world and kind of continually growing. And we've enabled fans of shows and teams within each of those social networks to express themselves, share their passions with their friends, play casual games with their friends, and just in general make their fan experience a lot more social.
So what you're saying is, give me a really good example. Give me one of your best examples of an entertainment application.
Sure. So, for example, here in San Francisco, a lot of folks are fans of the San Francisco Giants and a Major League Baseball team. And, you know, we provide applications on social networks that allow fans of the Giants to both get ready for the game by posting smack talk on their friends' walls on Facebook in the days leading up to the game. And then when the Giants win, which, you know, hopefully is more often than not these days, they'll get to post the scoreboard to their own profile page and invite their friends to come take a look at it. So really it provides a context for social interaction around sports in ways that, you know, haven't really been possible before when just reading an article online.
One of the things that I understood about Water Cooler I read was, I got this idea that because you make applications that work with multiple online services, that there was some way that
as a fan of, let's just say, the San Francisco Giants, I would be able to connect with my friends, whether they were on MySpace, Facebook, Friendster, High Five, Bebo, that I could talk to all of them with this one application about, if I want to smack talk on five social networks, I could do it. Is that true? Or is it just you have to be in the one thing to work with it?
Right. Well, you know, within each community, there is definitely the ability to access content created by fans no matter which social network they're on. So, for example, if you are a Giants fan on MySpace, you could create trivia questions or a quiz or so forth that could then be played and enjoyed by fans on other social networks like Facebook or High Five. But because the way that the communication channels work within each social network are limited to, you know, communicating to users of that network itself, you know, obviously, even when using our applications, you're still only able to send Facebook messages to other Facebook users.
Yeah, exactly. When's that going to change so that I can just talk to everybody all at one time?
That's too hard to tell right now.
Oh, come on. You're the guy that would know the answer, aren't you?
Well, you know, definitely we do enjoy providing applications that allow fans to connect in community fashion. But each of the social networks has built its own communication channels primarily for communicating with other users of the site.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to the day when that changes. So you are head of product at Watercooler. What's that really mean?
That means that I work on product management and product strategy here. So we're continually building out our applications on additional social networks and continually just evaluating the future of the social web and the distribution of applications across an increasing number of websites, which are thinking of themselves as social platforms, or at least as platforms for third-party applications to integrate with in general. And so, you know, my job is just continually evaluating those and making sure that we're, you know, building out, support for users and creating value for users in a way that's best for them, depending on the platform that they're on.
You're a computer systems engineer, is that right?
Yes, that was the program that I completed at Stanford. It's an engineering, electrical engineering and computer science degree, kind of half and half.
I want to ask you another question about Watercooler, and then I want to move on to Facebook and the Facebook marketing bible. If I were a brand that wanted to, let's just say Mountain Dew as an example, and I wanted to be involved in Watercooler, and I wanted to reach certain sports fans. This might not be a good example, so you can change it if you want to. But let's just say I want to sponsor skateboarding stuff, and there's a skateboarding application. How do I play in that?
Sure. So there's a lot of different ways. And, you know, what we try and do is provide ways for brands to create an integrated experience that's deeper than they can get from working, you know, purely through a banner ad or through some of the more traditional marketing channels. So, for example, one of the things that we've done recently is provide ways for advertisers to integrate with various features within our fan applications by sponsoring, for example, trivia, getting their brand identity and their messaging inside the trivia application in the context of the fan's natural experience, as opposed to, you know, just providing a banner ad off to the side. In general, applications provide opportunities for deeper integrations in the natural things that users enjoy doing in the social networking platforms that they use every day, as opposed to trying to create an interrupting message that sits to the side of content that the user is really most interested in.
All right. Well, this is the perfect segue to talk about Facebook and marketing, I think. So there are in your book, so it's called the Facebook Marketing Bible. It's $29.95. It's an ebook that you download. And I noticed when I bought it that I've gotten a couple of upgrades or updates since I bought it. How often do you update the book? And how long is my quote-unquote subscription lasting?
Sure. So
now mine's going to last forever, right, Justin? After this interview, I'd like forever the Facebook Bible. Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Okay, good.
So, you know, I update the Bible monthly because there are a lot of things that change on almost a daily basis. You know, certainly a month-to-month basis, there are a lot of things that are changing in the Facebook world. As you probably know, Facebook is going through a major redesign of the site, which they've been going through iteratively for now several months, you know, through a process that has taken a lot longer based on feedback from both application developers and users who have, responded in different ways to the changes that Facebook has made. The Bible itself is available in two versions: one just through a purchase, and second through a subscription. So if you're interested in staying up to date with, you know, the changes that occur on a month-to-month basis, that's available for a slightly higher price.
And what's that price?
It's $10 more, so.
Is it $39.95 then?
Right, so the base...
must be what I bought.
It's $39 and then, right, $49 is for the updates.
Oh, okay, got it. So you have been nice enough to offer two of the Facebook marketing Bibles for me to give to Dishy Mix fan clubs. It's only fitting that my fan club is on Facebook. So all you have to do, if you'd like to have one of the two copies that Justin is allowing me to give away for free, is to write a really good post on the Dishy Mix Facebook fan club, and I'll select two, and Justin will send you your free copy, your free subscription. And you have to type in Dishy Mix in the search box in Facebook to find me. All one word, Dishy Mix. So going to the Facebook Bible, you've broken up this into tools for guerrilla marketers, tools for advertisers, tools for application developers, those three big categories. I really want to talk at a high level about what you see working well in the world of tools for advertisers, and then I'd love for you to give me just a couple of little nuggets for guerrilla marketers, the brand called you, the people who are out there, you know, not with a big corporate hierarchy behind them, that the couple new things they might not know about that they could leverage. So I'd like to satisfy both worlds if we can. So let's start with the big marketers. What's really working? What do you like that Facebook offers today?
Sure. So Facebook has been actually adding some innovative ad units for big advertisers and big marketers on the redesigned version of the homepage. You may remember that in the past, they only allowed for advertisements on the sides of some pages on the site. But with the redesigned version of the site, they've added both banner ads on almost every page and integrated ads on the homepage. And the integrated ads are interesting because they create new opportunities for engagement that haven't existed in the past. So one specific example of that would be a new video ad unit that Facebook has created on the homepage, which allows for users to comment on the video on the homepage itself. And those comments are visible next to the video to that user's friends. So, for example, one recent ad that I saw this weekend was for a trailer for the new movie Choke, which I haven't seen, but I had two friends who commented on the video saying, "This is a great movie," or "This is a great trailer, you should check it out." And so after seeing my friends comment on that, on the ad in that way, I found myself much more interested in actually viewing the trailer and spending 3 minutes watching this video. So that's really a new type of opportunity that hasn't existed on the web before, which is advertisers can place creative in ways that can be enhanced by friends talking about the creative in a way that's visible to that user's social network, really increasing the attractiveness of the unit.
One of the things that I like about that is that not every advertiser is ready to create a group or a a fan page or any kind of a custom page for their brand. They might not be ready for the maintenance and the love and the daily care that that requires. And so if you're still involved in more of a campaign mentality, or you're under the, you know, you have to only work in a campaign mentality, this is actually a really good product for you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So some of the more traditional tactics that marketers have employed on Facebook have involved really getting involved with your users and spending a lot of time maintaining, engaging in conversations with people who may have different things to say about you. With this unit, there's definitely less maintenance involved. You do run the risk of people saying negative things about your creative in case they don't like it, but that's just part of the ballgame.
Right. And as marketers, we understand that we run that risk no matter what. Our creative will be criticized by someone, and it's happening online all the time anyway. We can't stop it, so we must embrace it and take our lumps. And in reality, that makes us more authentic to be able to live through those things.
Right. And on the whole, having users, real friends, talking about your creative is a type of engagement that is generally hard to get.
That's right.
So this provides a more compelling way than almost anywhere else to do that.
So what about things like sponsored Facebook groups or others? What do you think are some of the newest tools for advertisers that you're most excited about?
Sure. So Facebook is actually moving away from the sponsored group model,
okay,
and they're moving more towards pages,
okay,
which are basically business listings within Facebook that users can express affiliations with by calling themselves fans of it. So you've probably become fans of several brands that most of your users have probably become fans of several brands if they haven't already done that themselves. And Facebook is basically building an ad product around driving traffic to those pages. So most of the newsfeed ad products, which they are selling these days, are either direct links to those Facebook pages, which provide, you know, once users become a fan of your page, provides a mechanism for you to stay up, for you to keep fans of your page up to date through messages and so forth. But they also have a feature called recommendations. So they will essentially allow you to tick a checkbox when placing your newsfeed ad, allowing them to say, hey, Justin, your friend Susan has now become a fan of Apple. Check out the Apple fan page and become a fan yourself. And by effectively using your friends as endorsements of these pages, Facebook is able to increase the conversion rate of users becoming affiliated with your brand.
That was a little confusing for me.
Oh, okay.
Can you describe it again and describe it for me from a consumer's perspective?
Sure. So one of the types of ads that Facebook places in the newsfeed are sponsored items.
I've seen those.
For example, you know, check out Blockbuster movie rentals.
Yes.
And so forth. And that's pretty akin to many traditional types of ads we've seen in the past. They're a call to action. They're probably CPA priced and so forth. One of the things that Facebook has done to increase the conversion rate is to allow advertisers to allow Facebook to show your friend's face and name next to that ad when your friend has previously interacted with that ad.
Right. Your friend Justin Smith is part of the Visa Small Business Network.
Exactly.
Got it. I've seen those.
Right. And there has been some discussion around that because it's a new paradigm of thinking in terms of automatically using friends' actions on Facebook as an implied endorsement for the brand.
How's it going over?
Well, overall, I think it's gone fine, but obviously there are some folks who have expressed discontent about their face showing up next to something that they weren't entirely aware that they were going to show up next to.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's going to fly.
Well, actually, it's done pretty well so far. Facebook has done a good job of putting pretty granular privacy options available, so if you don't want to appear next to ads, you can, you know, select your privacy settings to not ever do that for you.
Okay.
But it's increased the conversion rate significantly, I'm guessing, which is why it still exists.
Well, because you're familiar with their face, so you notice the ad.
Right.
It's the familiarity.
You know, and a lot of people discover new things that they like from their friends. So
yeah.
Showing a friend's face next to a new product or service can be a pretty powerful idea.
And our brains are naturally associated to recognize the patterns of our friends' faces.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. Okay.
So, it's a pretty interesting way of increasing engagement with ads, by seeing that your friends have already chosen to participate in that.
I like it. So there are a lot of things that I've seen but wasn't completely aware of, or I wasn't completely grokking them, and you've brought them into focus for me, and I'm sure for a lot of our listeners. We're on there, we're busy, we're doing our thing. Those things flow by us, and it's good to know that, oh, right, we could actually use these in a campaign. I get it. I want to go to a commercial break, and when I come back, I'd love for you to fill us in on a couple of tips for all of us who are more on the guerrilla marketer side, who don't have big marketing budgets but still want to leverage social media and Facebook. So we're going to take a short break to thank our sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more with Justin Smith. Justin is the author of Inside Facebook, which is the largest blog about social media, social applications, etc. And of course, he is the author of the Facebook Marketing Bible. And you can get a copy for free if you're one of the two lucky posters on the Dishy Mix Facebook fan club. I'm your host, Susan Bratton, and we'll be right back after this sponsor break.
Listen to Money, Mission, and Meaning. Passion at work, purpose at play. A weekly audio program bringing you success in the business of life on personallifemedia.com.
We're back, and we're with Justin Smith, and we're talking about the Facebook Marketing Bible, and Justin was just about to give us some of the latest changes that Facebook has made that we might leverage if we are the brand called you.
Sure. So there's a lot of things going on Facebook right now, you know, there for guerrilla marketers. You know, one of the biggest changes that we've seen over the course of the last year, at least several months, up to a year, has been the shift from groups to pages, and really Facebook providing more tools to marketers through the pages product as opposed to the groups product. You know, one of the most common questions that I get from guerrilla marketers is, how can I get started? How can I get the word out? And how can I, make sure that once someone joins my page or group, that I'm able to leverage that into a relationship that is valuable over the long run? So one of the original limitations of groups was that it basically provided very limited messaging capabilities. So if you wanted to invite your friends to the group or to send a message to the group, there were pretty strict caps on that. I think you could only invite, a few friends.
19 at a time.
Right, and group owners could only message. I think the limit was, it changed over time, a few hundred and up to 1,000. And that has recently changed, and they're continually tweaking that. However, Facebook's real intentions for pages is that they will be a tool. They will be able to be used by social media marketers to regularly engage Facebook users in a way that is more ingrained with what they do on a daily basis on Facebook. So a couple of the things that that pages allow is, for updates, which are regular messages that page owners can send. They also create analytics tools for page owners to be able to measure the effectiveness of those messages. So, for example, if you send a message one day and then a different one the next week, you can see the conversion rate, the traffic, how many folks spread that message to their friends, and so forth. Facebook also is, they don't publish any official numbers on, how much different types of feed items get published through the news feed, which is Facebook's system of sharing what you do on Facebook with your friends. But, in my observation, I've definitely seen that page activity, feed stories get published a lot more because Facebook wants to become a more important place for marketers to spread the word. And so they're basically giving more love to marketers through the use of through the increased visibility of page related feed activity.
That is important. And what does it cost for you to build your own page in Facebook?
Oh, so Facebook doesn't charge for that at all.
Okay.
Facebook lets anyone create a page. The one caveat is that you can't create a page for a brand for a brand which you're not the trademark owner.
Sure.
So for example, Coke could claim your Coke page if you went and created one today.
Yeah.
But Facebook intends to make money by charging you to basically drive more traffic to your page if you want to up the speed with which you're marketing within Facebook.
And how do you up the speed with it within Facebook to get more people to visit your page and become, what do you become, a member, a fan? What's the connection on a page?
Right. So
join?
You choose to become a fan of the page, which is a pretty general term, and that message can get propagated both on your profile page, where it appears in your mini feed, which is now the wall feed in the new redesign. And that message also goes out to your friends via their news feeds. So if you became a fan of Apple, your friends might see that news later tonight or tomorrow and could then click on that news feed, and then their friends would see the news that they became a fan, and so forth. And so that there is actually a pretty... there can be a pretty rapid spread of news about becoming a fan of a brand through the newsfeed, which makes it pretty powerful. The advertising products that Facebook makes available basically accelerate that. Basically, get you in front of more people so that more fans that you wouldn't have access because they weren't friends with the people that saw your newsfeed item would be able to join, thus just increasing the spread of your page within Facebook.
And you think that's the best way to run an ad campaign, even if it's a limited one based on certain keywords and things like that, to get visibility for your page?
Right. So a lot of, that's definitely an important way of doing it. Obviously, there is more that brand marketers can do with pages that could enhance the engagement that users could have with their page. So, for example, there are lots of application developers who have created applications that can live on pages.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a band or a promoter, you might want to get an application that allows users to listen to music right on your page. And there are various applications in the application directory that, depending on the nature of your page, might make sense for creating increased engagement. As a page owner, if you so choose, you can also create those applications to provide enhanced functionality. If you're a bigger advertiser, that might make sense to create, for example, a specific contest application or just providing additional functionality that might not be available by default. Facebook does create several built-in features for pages like video, photos, walls, and so forth, all the kind of, all the standard social networking features that will allow users to engage with your page. And when users do that, they will the news of their interaction with your page will spread to their friends. So some page owners actually choose not to turn on many of those modules because they don't want to monitor them, you know, because someone might say something that they don't like. But by turning them on, you enable messages about your interaction with your page to spread a lot more.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay. So you gave me a nice segue as well. We were talking about applications and widgets, and there are two things. The reason I kind of called it a smackdown, application versus widget smackdown, was just that I think there's a dark side to building Facebook apps and widgets, and it's exactly what you're probably going through right now with the Facebook Marketing Bible. You build an application or a widget, and then Facebook changes their platform, and then you've got to write your book again, and we've got to fix our widgets and our applications, right?
Hence the need for updates.
It is. You must buy the subscription version of the Facebook Marketing Bible. Just one copy is not going to do it. I mean, that really is. As somebody recently said to me, I built a multi-podcast player widget, and we built it with the Gigya platform for Personal Life Media. And a week after we launched the widget, a month after we launched the widget, Facebook changed and the widget doesn't look right in the application anymore, you know, and it's like, oh, so a lot of I think the rule of thumb is as much money as you spend developing an app, you're going to have to spend maintaining it. And that's don't you agree? Do you agree or disagree with me on that?
No, absolutely. Yeah, you know, we're still in the early stages of things, and the APIs and the features and the functionality that are available for folks who are building applications are changing on a regular basis. And so if you're a marketer who's planning on engaging users much more deeply through the use of an application, you should definitely be prepared to update it over the course of the next several months. You know, maybe allocate 30 to 40 or maybe 50% of your budget to learning based on how things have gone so far and fixing things that have changed based on Facebook's, you know, continually evolving platform. Hopefully that will stabilize over the course, you know, after the redesign is completed here in a few weeks, but
it won't. It's not going to stabilize. And once you launch your widget, you realize that the UI isn't quite right, or people don't quite get how to use it, or you think of this great improvement. So, yeah, at least 50% of your budget.
Sure, just like any just like any campaign or project, you'll definitely learn a lot, and especially if it's one of your first projects, you'll learn a lot. You'll see what works well, and oftentimes it may be the simplest thing that you thought of. Some of the more complicated things may not work as well.
So it also strikes me, there's one thing I'd like you to do. Just explain the difference for us between an application and a widget, just so we have that clear.
Sure. So I think that there's a little bit different terminology depending on who you ask, but I have a pretty clear difference between the two.
Mm-hmm.
So an application consists of a couple of different parts, one of which is the profile page integration, which is a box on a user's profile page, which looks like a lot like a widget on any other website. It's a small, generally lightly functional area that is slightly customizable. But Facebook applications and other applications like MySpace or Hi5 or Bebo and so forth also provide what's called a canvas page, which is essentially a full page, a clean slate, where Facebook only provides the header and the footer, and the application developer can provide all of the functionality in between those two. So that's where users generally go when they click on application profile boxes on Facebook profile pages. They go into this deeper experience which I call the canvas page, which is really where the richness and the depth of applications exist. Generally, a widget on a website would link you off to a different website where the destination or the homepage of that marketer would exist. Within Facebook, applications provide a way for deeper interactions within Facebook itself, as opposed to jumping off to another website. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think it's helpful to understand those two things. It's also been explained to me that a widget is a piece of code that can work across many platforms, and an application might be a piece of code that only works for a particular platform. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Depending on the technology that you use to build the widget, on the web, a lot of widgets are built in Flash, yeah. which allows them to live on many different websites yeah. because it's really easy to add a Flash widget to a page.
Mm-hmm.
On Facebook, you have to build it using Facebook's language, which yes. is called FBML.
Yeah, what Facebook is that? FB? Oh, Facebook Markup Language. All right, got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly, uh-huh. which is basically their version of HTML
yeah.
That works within Facebook. So you're right. Once you, if you'd like to build within Facebook or most other social networking platforms, mm-hmm. you'll have to write it in a different language, which will require, you know, new development.
So I think that's another thing to talk about here, and that's the Facebook application developers. So you have RockYou and Slide and the Social Gaming Network and Zynga, Flickster, Chain, and Watercooler. You're right in there. Project Agape. SA Ventures and iLike. Those are currently the top 10, according to Adnomics, those which I got off TechCrunch. Those are the top 10 application developer or social application development companies, right?
Sure,
but they're
absolutely.
Different. There's different flavors in there. Some of them build apps. Others have networks, ad networks. So they're selling the media in the applications to advertisers.
That's right.
Are there any other buckets? How would you divide that world if you had to bucketize it?
Sure. So it's a really big world. You know, there are over 40,000 applications that have been created for the Facebook platform, and they vary greatly. I think you're right on in you know, naming a couple of the key categories as, you know, I think applications that provide really rich media experiences are one really interesting category of applications. Watercooler definitely falls into that bucket, mm-hmm. as does iLike and Flickster, which mm-hmm. you know, serve music and movie communities respectively. And what those really do is provide richer experiences around the media and the entertainment that people like enjoying in the context of their social network.
Mm-hmm.
And each of those companies generally makes money in a variety of ways, but more or less fall under the category of sponsorships or advertising. So, for example, at Watercooler, we provide advertisers with various opportunities to advertise within our applications or to sponsor or integrate with different elements of the application, as do the others. So that's, I think you can think about those as just, social entertainment, you know, more deeply social entertainment experiences that really couldn't exist on a website because your friends don't live there.
Yeah.
Moving on to a different bucket, I think social games is a pretty interesting bucket as well.
Yeah, that's the Zynga of the world, Zynga's of the
yeah,
world, right?
Yeah, exactly. Zynga and SGN and Playfish are three of the biggest companies who have built some of the most successful social games to date. And these are games that may or may not be able to exist outside of social networks, but are more fun when played with people that you're actually friends with.
Like the poker app is a big one.
Right, yeah. Texas Hold'em is mm-hmm. one of the biggest games that's created by Zynga.
That's Mark.
Another interesting game is Friends for Sale, which is created by a company called Serious Business, which basically makes a game out of buying and selling your friends, which is basically a way to flirt and kind of tell people that you're thinking about them. And so there's been a lot of interesting innovation for by game developers creating new types of game-like experiences within social networks. And kind of related to that, I would say there are content sharing applications. And these are ones like Bumper Sticker or SuperPoke or, you know, FunWall, FunSpace, that type of thing, which basically allows you to find content that you think is funny or interesting and forward it to your friends.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of email these days, even, 15 years after the kind of growth of the internet in the U.S., is still kind of forwarding content to your friends and family.
Especially from your parents.
Exactly.
Do your parents totally send you that stuff all the time?
You know, my parents are definitely the number one forwarders in my inbox. So maybe that's true for other people. I don't know.
I think it is. Yeah, everybody's nodding that's listening.
Yeah. So, that's actually something that's still, will maybe popular on any communication platform ever. But, as Facebook becomes, used by more segments of our population, we might see that it's continually used for that purpose as well.
What other big buckets are there? And then I have a couple more questions I want to move on.
Sure. So, there are other buckets which are still being defined. I think that there are some business finance applications. The Visa Business Network was an interesting one that you mentioned, where Enterprises are basically seeing if there are ways that they can get value from building applications on social networks. There are some kind of social lending applications that are happening.
Sure.
There are some social travel applications, you know, like find friends recommended beaches or, you know, couch surfing or that type of thing. All of those types of things. There's a lot of dating applications, kind of like Hot or Not 2.0.
Yeah.
Within Facebook, and those types of things will always be popular.
Mm-hmm. Got it. What do you think it costs for a marketer to build their own application? Let's just say they wanted to create something. They really thought they could create something as fabulous as Texas Hold'em or Hot or Not or Super Poke or whatever it would be. What would that cost?
Yeah, well, that's a big question. I think that it really depends upon the specifics of the campaign. You know, I think that it's probably unrealistic for most marketers to expect that their applications can be as successful as Texas Hold'em or Friends for Sale, which have millions of users and have existed, you know, for many months or years. However, I do think that it's possible that to create applications that create deep engagement for a larger number of users than is possible anywhere else. So, you know, depending on the scope of your application, I would expect that, you know, simple applications would cost in the, I'm just guessing here because I haven't built any applications for clients in that way. But, you know, like any other web development project, simple applications could run from, you know, tens of thousands up to, you know, potentially even more, you know, into the hundreds, depending on how complex you wanted to get.
Okay. This is your it's a personal question. It's a question that I want you to ask from a personal perspective. It's not about you personally, although it is Dishy Mix and I do that. What advice do you give about managing one's personal online reputation? What's just your perspective on that?
A lot of people are afraid that with the advent of the internet that we are becoming an increasingly anonymous society, and there's kind of the loss of personal connection and so forth. And I actually think the opposite. I think that the creation of social networking platforms like Facebook allow for information sharing between people in much more powerful ways than have ever existed before. And I think that's really powerful and great and good for society. And so, you know, in general, I tend to have the opinion that it's a transparent world, and people are going to know you for who you are, even if you try and hide it. And you know, Facebook makes it easy to learn more about people, to see how they interact with their real friends, and to see the types of ways that they express themselves by the types of things that they put on their page, which represents them to others. And so, I think that just being authentic and being honest and, you know, being careful not to say anything that you wouldn't normally say in public, or in a place that, you know, a big audience would find out are kind of common sense rules that I try and live by.
You've spoken at a conference called Graphing Social Patterns. What does that mean?
Sure. So Graphing Social Patterns is a conference created by my friend Dave McClure, who
500 hats.
Absolutely. Yeah. Great guy. Super smart guy, and his conference was essentially dedicated to trying to understand what's happening as all of these social networks are shifting from just becoming websites that you go to platforms where really complex advanced ecosystems are developing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as Facebook has shifted from just being a website to a platform, there have been new types of people that have tried to figure out how to work in this world. You know, there are entrepreneurs who are building applications, building businesses. There are developers who are serving agencies and marketers. There are marketers who are trying to figure out how this could be a way to engage people in, you know, new and powerful ways that aren't possible elsewhere. And so this conference is basically trying to get everyone together to talk about, you know, now that these social platforms are existing and are growing and are becoming increasingly common and prevalent, you know, what should we do? What are the best practices? What makes sense? How are people using this to achieve their goals? And, you know, it's still early in the game, and so conferences are a great way to just meet other folks who are trying things and to see what's working and what's not.
Is that one of your favorite conferences?
Absolutely, yeah. I've been at both of them, and they were both great.
So this is a big question. Answer it how you will, because we're out of time, but I can't get enough of you, Justin. You're so smart. You explain things well. It's stuff I love. So we're going a little long, testing
sure.
The patience of the Dishy Mix listener. But so what's next on the social media horizon?
Sure. So I think one of the bigger trends that we're seeing right now is the creation of services that will allow any website to become increasingly social by plugging into social networking platforms.
Sure. We've had Gina Bianchini on from Ning a couple of episodes ago just to talk about that.
Right. So Facebook has created a new initiative called Facebook Connect,
Okay. Which
is an interesting way for website owners to integrate Facebook accounts into their website. So, for example, if you ran a blog, you could enable Facebook Connect authentication so that when a person comments on your blog, their name and image appears from their Facebook account, so that your user's identity is increasingly tied to wherever they participate on across the web. So this actually provides unique, new and interesting opportunities for any old website to become a social place, because users then might be able to use Facebook Connect to invite their friends to that website, to that blog, to participate and to interact in a way that normally would have just not been social at all, because it wouldn't have integrated with their social network in any meaningful way. It would have just been this place that they bookmarked. Maybe they sent a link to their friends via email and so forth. So, one of the bigger trends I think that we're seeing is the increased socialization, or however you'd like to articulate that, of the web. Websites are increasingly becoming integrated with your social network, and the news feed that exists within Facebook is not only going to talk about what you're doing within Facebook, but what you're doing around the web, because all of those websites are going to be plugging back into Facebook, and your identity is going to be unified, and the feed is going to become the way that you find out what your friends are doing anywhere online. I think that's a really interesting trend. It's a new way of thinking about information, and it really puts Facebook and other social networking platforms in a powerful position, because they therefore get to control the distribution of that information.
Have you seen that product called, that little technology called Alert Thingy?
I've heard of it. I'm not incredibly familiar with it.
It's this random little thing. I discovered it somewhere. It's kind of like Friend Feed, where it aggregates a bunch of your feeds from all the different things that you do into one news feed. So instead of Facebook, which is just Facebook's news feed, now you're saying that news feed will start incorporating all of these other things that we're doing on the web. Well, Friend Feed's kind of doing that now.
Mm-hmm.
And Alert Thingy just lets you pop it up above your browser in kind of a transparent layer, so that you can see, and you can also see little notifications, like if you use a PC and you use Outlook, and you can see those clear email notifications as your emails come in. It just kind of puts a little layer on top of your window. Do you know what I mean? It's like a translucent layer feed.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about Facebook? Are they going to create some kind of an application so you don't have to have your browser window open to Facebook to watch your feed all the time?
I think so. I think they probably will. I think Facebook will want to make its information available in an increasing number of platforms. So, they've created the Facebook for iPhone application, which allows you to get your Facebook feed on your mobile phone. And I would expect them to increasingly create new ways of accessing that information. I think you're exactly right in pointing out that other services like FriendFeed are doing similar things, aggregating your life online into one stream that can be easily digested by your friends in a way that provides them with a lot of information that they wouldn't have had access to before, because we can't all check our friends' Flickr accounts and YouTube accounts on a daily basis. That's just way too much work.
Yeah, we already spend too much time online, right?
Absolutely. We need to get outside more.
More outside. So this is my last question, because it's a fascinating one for me. I want to know some of the most interesting people that you follow in the social media or the advertising world. Who do you really track and watch and learn from?
Yeah, that's a great question. I just try and stay up to date on what all the entrepreneurs in the space are doing. So, I follow a lot of entrepreneurs' Twitter accounts because a lot of techie folks use Twitter to share what they're doing on a regular basis. So folks on the Facebook platform team, folks on the FriendFeed team, other people who are building social media services. I just kind of follow all of them together just to kind of stay abreast of all the things that are happening in the space. Obviously there are a lot of great analysts, there are beginning to be some good analysts in the space. Jeremiah Oyang is a friend of mine who tracks social media for Forrester these days and does a really good job of helping businesses stay apprised of the ways that social media may be affecting different core processes within the organization. And that's really interesting to me as well. You know, in general, I really like just observing what my friends are doing on social networks, my non-startup friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the best really indicator of the future.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I came out to California for college and haven't left.
Well, good. We're glad you're here. You're bringing some more brilliance to the Bay Area, clearly.
Well, thanks a lot. It's really a fun place to be.
Well, you are doing such an awesome job with your life, Justin. In addition to your blog, your book, you're at a great company. And thank you for telling us so much information and helping us get some traction. I think what's going to have to happen with this episode of Dishy Mix is we're going to have to listen to it in front of our browser on Facebook so we can see the things you're talking about. I guess I'm just a really visual person, but I think what we've got here is kind of like an audio tour of Facebook for marketers.
Absolutely. That's a great idea. And there are lots of things to explore within Facebook, and hopefully we've been able to touch on some of the most interesting ones.
I hope so. I think you surfaced some great stuff that really gelled for me today. So thank you for that. And again, I want to remind you, if you're listening and you'd like a copy of the Facebook Marketing Bible, Justin is giving me two to give away. Write me a really good post on the Dishy Mix Fan Club in Facebook, and I'll give you one. All right, Justin, thank you so much. It's been awesome to have you.
Yeah, thanks so much, Susan. It's been great being with you today.
Yeah, we had a good time. All right, I am your host, Susan Bratton. That was Justin Smith, and it was terrific to spend time with you today. Thanks for the extra few minutes. I hope it was worthwhile for you. I'll see you next week. Okay, bye-bye. Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.